Thank you, Gary, for the walk-up music. Appreciate that. It's good to see everybody this morning. As everybody settles down, let's begin by prayer. By the way, this service gets bathed in prayer. I want you to know we've been praying for this service all week long. And many of you have been praying, and we thank you. So let's pray. Father, these few brief moments, help us to align ourselves with you. God, I pray that the words like have one heart, one mind, one body won't just be some good things to say. God, the church has gathered to honor you, to be in awe of you. God, forgive us for how we have allowed our flesh, the world, and any form of evil to lessen our awe of you, because you're still an awesome God. And God, if we want to choose today to look at our world through our human eyes, we're going to be greatly disappointed. But God, I pray you give us spiritual eyes. Give us spiritual ears. God, speak in a language to each one of us that we will receive it. And God, as you have told me for the last 2 weeks, because you love me and because you love us, sometimes you have to speak sternly, but you speak in love, you speak truth, you speak life-changing words. So, Father, we choose today to put our faith and trust in you. We don't understand everything you're up to, and that's okay. You will give us vision to see what we need to see. You'll give us faith to walk when we can't see. You will give us faith to put our trust in you, our good, loving Heavenly Father. Praise be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about baptism. And this afternoon at 5 o'clock at the north end of Tybee, close to the Lighthouse area, we're going to gather there and we're going to celebrate and declare what God has been doing in some individuals' lives. The age range will vary from very young to just a little bit older. But the fact is one God through one Spirit has been working in these individual lives. Some for years, some for a few years. And we don't understand all that God's up to in these individual lives. But we celebrate and we praise Him and we thank Him for this opportunity. And for a lot of us in this room, this activity of baptism has probably taken place maybe years past. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you don't even remember the date. Maybe you don't even remember the place. Maybe you've forgotten what led you to make that choice to do that. Maybe you need a reminder today of what really took place that day because of what had taken place before that day. And so this morning we're going to look at a few scriptures with a few points. And what my hope, my desire is to stir up in you a renewed sense of what God is doing in your life. What He's really doing in your life. What He desires to do. How He has been speaking to you. What all He's up to. A couple of weeks ago, Kevin and I got one of those, we purchased one of those above ground pools. It's about 4 feet deep. It's about 18 feet in diameter. It's good. But one thing it was missing was a diving board. So I turned to the expert in my own household, my son Cameron. I said, Cameron, come up with a redneck diving board for us. The very next day, here he came around the corner, hauling my dad's extension ladder to climb up on the roof. Now, it would be one thing to say, this was the edge of the pool, and the roof was right there. But it's another thing to say, this is the edge of the pool, and the roof's over here. I agree with you. So he proceeded to use our redneck diving board. And the irony is, to me, is first of all, he didn't get hurt. Okay? But when he did it a few times, and he lived to tell the story, us being boys, my house is two-story. He was on the lower story. So I looked at him, I said, well, what do you think? Now, if our lower roof is here, our next story roof is over there. But being a typical younger boy, because I was thinking kind of like him. He can make it. Now notice what I said. He can make it. Dane and Heights really don't go together very well. He didn't try it. Praise God. But one of the things was is the fact that we have started the thought process. I may come home and, well, it might be an ER visit, but it'll be an awesome story either way. But I want you to realize that part of what happened when he started doing that and watching is this. I noticed that there was life, that something happened in the accomplishment of doing something that apparently had some semblance of some sort of risk involved. Why is that important for us today as we talk about baptism? If you took an honest evaluation of your life today, really was honest. In fact, if God showed you today on the PowerPoint description of your relationship with Him, would He use the word life? Would He use the word alive? Would He use the word vibrant? Would He use the word excited? Would He use the word hungry? Are you hungry for Him? Have you lost sight that the personal relationship that you have declared in your life is still intact and still have an opportunity to grow? So this morning, let's look at a few scriptures as we discuss baptism. This is the baptism of Jesus Himself. It's found in Mark 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan. That was a good day. That was a long walk, by the way. That wasn't like just a few miles down the road. That was a lot of miles down the road. To be baptized by John. But John, talking about John the Baptist, not John the disciple, the beloved. John the Baptist. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us. Look at that. Who's getting baptized? Jesus. But isn't it interesting he used a plural word? Us, to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Very simple, straightforward point this morning is baptism is about relationship, not religion. Baptism doesn't save you. It's a declaration that you have been saved. It's an outward declaration that I'm in with Jesus now. Jesus didn't have to be baptized. He chose to submit to the will of the Father in an act of obedience so he could identify with us on a level that says, yes, I'm going to die to myself so I can be buried and then I can be resurrected to a new life. Baptism is about a relationship, not religion. And being baptized, Jesus was identifying Himself with us. He didn't need to be baptized because He has been perfect from the beginning. He was perfect during, He was perfect before, and He was perfect after baptism. But His identification with us was about relationship. And when God says this about His only begotten Son, He says, that's my Son in whom I agape, that I love with everything I've got. With Him I'm well pleased. You know what? How many of you this week, and I'm glad this is rhetorical because I know some of you have fallen into this trap, and I know I have fallen into this trap, thought if I try a little bit harder, maybe I can get a little bit more love. In fact, you've worked out of the deficit in your life trying to please others, trying to gain somebody's approval, all the while hoping that somebody will look at you and say, you know, after all, I've thought about it, I've looked at you, I do like you. You are okay. Jesus hadn't done anything except show up in identification. And the Father says, this is mine. I claim Him as my own. He had never done anything wrong. Never did, never will. This is my Son, and I am well pleased. He's mine. This afternoon at the beach, we're declaring that there was a transaction that took place in some time in the past, where someone said yes to Jesus and said, I'm going to change my life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm declaring it out loud. I'm going to be identified with Him through His death, through his burial, and then through his resurrection. I am very concerned, church, that as a church in America, we have lost the desire to be in awe of God. I am very concerned that we have lost the desire to be hungry and thirst for righteousness. I am concerned for me that I lose sight sometimes of the offering that God has made before me. He has set the table, and I've chose to look under the table and pick up some crumbs. Are you surviving off crumbs? Are you surviving off sips of water when the living water has offered Himself? When the bread of life has set the table and said, enjoy a banquet. Right in the middle of your enemies. Right in the middle of bad news. Right in the middle of garbage. Right in the middle of the struggle. Let's get together and let's enjoy the relationship. As only Jesus was baptized, the heaven was open, and then God the Father came down in the form of that dove. And you know, part of what John the Baptist was doing there was this. He mentions that the purpose of his baptism was to reveal who Jesus was. Because this marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry here. Because see, what we find in chapter 3 is the Father saying, that's my boy and I love him and I just can't love him enough because he loves him so much that he decides in chapter 4, it says, you know what it says at the beginning of chapter 4? God loved him so much that he says in the beginning of chapter 4 of Matthew that by the Holy Spirit he was led into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Now see, from our view, we would say, how could God love me? How could God love Jesus to do that to him? Because he had secured his identity. He had secured the relationship to realize it was unshakable, it was immovable, and nothing would change that because he was so secure in this relationship. How secure are you today in your relationship with Jesus? How secure are you today in your relationship with God the Father? To fulfill all that righteousness, it wasn't that this was one act in of itself to fulfill all the righteousness, but it was another step in the overall mission of Jesus to identify with the fallen, sinful man, a mission that would only finally be fulfilled at the cross. He was taking one more step to say, if you want to follow me, you've got to get in line for this too. And that's what we've been doing. That's what we're going to do today, this afternoon at the beach, is we're celebrating publicly people saying, yes, I will follow. Do we understand everything? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, there are three young ones getting baptized today at the beach. I guarantee you, not only the adults, but the young ones, they don't understand everything. Guess whose responsibility is to help them with that? I'm looking at them. And you're looking back at one that has that responsibility to help them understand what really is taking place in their life as we live it together. So if you're into religion, then you've missed the relationship. But baptism is about relationship, not a religious act. This isn't the destination this afternoon. This is just one more step on the journey of saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm all in. The next one. We turn to Romans chapter 6, 3 through 8. I'm going to read all this, and I got a couple of points that will break it down a little bit further. And this is Paul writing to the Romans. Romans is an awesome book. You know, the next time you're like, what should I read? Just go to Romans and start reading. But get ready, because it'll challenge you. You better have some study tools ready. You better get ready to text Dusty or Rick for all your questions, okay? All right, my phone blocks Bible questions. All right, I'm joking. It really doesn't. Some of y'all are kind of wondering if I'm telling the truth. I'm not. All right, so Paul writes in the book of Romans, or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? You died to the old way of life. You died to those thoughts. You died to those lusts. You died to those wants and those desires that were of the kingdom of darkness. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism. We were put under baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. New life. New life. Our culture spends an enormous amount of time and energy and resources of great magnitude when it comes to money to look great on the outside. And Jesus paid the ultimate price so you can be beautiful on the inside. For if we have been united with Him in death, like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified. Something's got to die with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. Let me tell you something. In the Old Testament, there are numerous times where there's stories of like Elijah with the altar, with the priest of Baal. Throughout the Old Testament, it talks about altar and sacrifice. When the fire of God falls, we better have something on that altar. The reason why I tell you that today in conjunction with baptism is this. If we're not offering God something to kill, then we're hanging on to it, and it's not dead. So next point, baptism is telling the world, hey, look at what God is doing in my life. Not what He did do, and not what He's going to do, but what He's up to. We have become one. Because we therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have and live a new life. Church, I told you already, I'm going to tell you again. Our world needs to see followers of Christ that are hungry and thirsty for the things of God and are filling up on the living water and the bread of life, not settling for sips in the desert or crumbs under the table, but to fill ourselves up. It says we died with Him, we were resurrected to Him, and we have a new life. I've got a new outlook. Bank account doesn't have more money. My job is still surrounded with idiots. My family, most of them, honest to goodness, if murder was legal, they'd be dead a long time ago. Okay? You know, there's sometimes Kathy looks at me and I'm pretty sure that she's thinking something like this. I don't know who you are. Do you want me to start calling names of other people that you look at your husbands like you don't know who they are? Baptism is telling the world, hey, look at what God is doing in my life. Man, I woke up excited this morning about what we're going to do at the beach. It's been a long time since we baptized this many people. It's been a long time. And what it creates in me is it isn't stopping here. It creates wanting more. I want to say, I'm tired. I am tired of hearing stories about broken homes. I am tired of hearing stories about one more marriage broken. I'm tired of hearing the lost staying lost. When I have the privilege of telling that every single day. But if I want to live to an old life, all I'm telling them is what I am telling my world is God didn't have the power to change me, and that's a lie. That's a lie. Each act of obedience is a chance to become just like Christ. A person who loves Jesus and accept Him as his or her Savior will want to follow Him in baptism because, see, Jesus continues identity with us. Are you currently identifying with Him? Are you identifying with Him? Have you identified through the death, the burial, and the resurrection to new life? Baptism is important because it's a public declaration that we've accepted Jesus and we're turning our back on the old life of sin and are now trusting Jesus to live a new life as a Christian. When we are placed under the water and are raised back out of it, we are symbolically stating that we have died to sin, that our old life of sin has been buried, and that we have been raised to new life in Jesus. Just as He died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life again. New life. Baptism is telling the world, hey, look what God is doing. We're not adding to salvation, nor does this save us. What we're doing is we're identifying with Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity of what He's doing in the earth today. It's our identification to say, what? And look at what God is doing in my life. Look at what God's doing in my life. Jesus tells John that His baptism was fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, Jesus set the tone. He led the way, and we're only following Him. So what's your life telling the world? How is your life communicating what Jesus is doing in your life? How is your life? How is your thought life? How is your relation? How are the relationships in your life? What are you communicating to those closest to us, to you? Are you telling the world, hey, look what God is doing in my life? Are you succumbing right now to the struggles of temptation? Are you succumbing to the old lies? Because see, one of the tough parts about this is this. We are telling the world today what God has been doing and what He is doing and what He's capable of doing. But the fact is that sometimes the lies still have power over us. Sometimes the strongholds still have some power over us. And they like to manipulate us. And they like to mess with us. But we are celebrating what God's doing. That's why I asked you earlier this morning, are you still feeling alive that what God's doing in your life is still active? Or have you succumbed to the way of this lie? life really will never be any different, that this is all there is to offer. Because we are engaging today what God is doing in people's lives, but what He's doing in our own lives. You see, when we get to witness something on the beach today, that's not just about somebody else going to do something. That's us joining them in this great celebration. Okay? So today we are joining in a celebration of what God is doing in the earth through this body. And the last point. Once again, we see Paul writing in the book of Romans, the rest of chapter 6, 5 through 8. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. I said to you today, baptism is an act of faith. We're not coming out of that water this afternoon knowing all of what God is going to do. We're trusting that God is going to use and continue to do. Are you still on that path in your life, those who have been baptized and claim Jesus as Lord of your life? Are you still on that path saying, I don't know what God is up to, but I want to join Him in what He is doing, not just outside of me, but in me? Jesus' ministry became very public. I told you already, chapter 4 of Matthew is when He is led into the wilderness to fast for 40 days. Scripture says to be tempted by the evil one. We see it become very public. So this act of faith today, I don't expect evil to sit around and cheer and go, good job. What I expect is evil to formulate an attack plan. But the attack plan against any one of us can come at any moment. So we're living a life of faith. So we see this, your personal ministry, your change in lifestyle should be a place to begin our public ministry. Because we're declaring that our old life is dead and that we're living a new life. And you live not just in the will of God, but through the will of God. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's your life lived through God's will and not your own. The Spirit may lead you to some unusual or odd or different places, different conversations, some things that maybe might seem uncomfortable. But you know, when you're there and you're being led by the Spirit of God, that's when you start quoting some Scripture. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He came that I may have life and have it abundantly. Baptism is an act of faith. We're trusting that through this act that Jesus really did do something for us and that God the Father has planted in us His Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever. We are saved through grace, by grace, and thank God it's maintained by that same grace. Because I guarantee you something, if it wasn't maintained by grace, pretty much all of us would have to just be being baptized over and over and over and over. Okay? I know I would. If it wasn't an act of faith, trusting that what was done once and impacts out throughout eternity, I'd be in a lot of trouble. So I ask you again this morning about your life. How's your life right now? Are you the new creation? This says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. How would you describe your relationship with God the Father today? We have been talking over these last few weeks about evangelism. We talked about different ways, different avenues. Today is an act of evangelism at the beach, by the way. Because there will be people that will do what happens every time we go out there. A, they'll wonder what's going on. B, are the jellyfish bad? C, did someone actually get bit by a shark? Because let me come see it. Because guess what? We picked Discovery Week, the Shark Week. Okay? All right? So we've chummed the waters a little bit. All right? And because we're doing it in early August, we still have a lot of people that will be from out of town there. There's going to be a lot of people at the beach today. Did you know they've never seen a beach baptism and never seen a baptism? Guarantee it. So they're curious. So today, baptism as an act of faith. Part of it is this. We're putting the face of God out there through an act of faith. We're literally the face of God doing something in obedience that's evangelizing a lost world. We're the hands and feet of Jesus doing something in faith as the very presence of the living God. See, a new life is not looking for God to join them. A new life is looking to join God. And today we're joining God in what He is doing in people's lives. I want you to think about that for a second. Right now, if you took inventory of your life about all the things I've questioned you about, how would you say you're doing at joining God in what He is doing and trying to do? Are you in a tug of war, a battle between your spirit, your flesh? Are you submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are you submitting to the will of God the Father in your life? If you took a picture of your own heart, and by the way, I am actually talking about your physical heart for right now, okay? If you took a picture of your own physical heart and you said, hey God, show me how I'm living my life in worry, fear, anxiety, uncertainty, all those types of fleshly things. How is it impacting my fleshly heart? Show me what's really doing to it. I think God would say, well, see what stress is doing when it beats like that? You see, you're only, Dane, at half capacity because you are gasping for breath because you're living in anxiety, instead of taking a deep breath and trusting me. And then look at your spiritual heart. If God showed you a picture of your spiritual heart today, what do you think it would look like? Has it become hardened against the world because you spend too much time celebrating bad news instead of asking God, how do I engage in this battle? Because darkness appears. There's an illusion that it's doing good. The truth is, God's still sovereign. I don't understand everything that's happening. I don't even understand everything that happens in my life. Why would I think I can understand what happens in your life or someplace else? But I declared a long time in the past that I'll live in faith because I'm going to live a long time in the future that I don't know anything about and is outside my control. So if you took honest inventory of your heart today, the spiritual heart right now, if you stopped controlling, manipulating, any other of those type of words that fit that, and just relaxed in His love, in His peace, what changes would He be allowed to make in your life? I'm going to say it again. What changes would you allow Him to make in your life? I'm looking at the answer to somebody's prayers. There's somebody somewhere in your life that's asking questions. And God's saying, I got somebody on the way. The rest is faith. Baptism, an act of faith. I'm not going to spend my life being angry at the darkness. I'm going to let God put me on the hill that He's called me to be on. I'm going to let Him put me on the lampstand. I'm going to let Him spread my salt wherever. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm going to take ownership. I'm going to take responsibility. Because that's something that's happened at the beach this afternoon, by the way. A group of people are taking responsibility. And they're saying the old way just isn't going to get it done. I need a new life. I need a new eyes and a new heart. And I don't understand everything. But I'm going to surround myself with people that are going to walk with me, cry with me, get mad with me, ask questions with me, look at the Bible with me, share dreams with me, encourage me. Tyler, I got to tell the story on you boys, okay? Tuesday, Tyler's mother-in-law had very serious surgery, but praise God, she's doing well so far. Keep praying for Miss Jill, okay? It's good to have Brian. Y'all see Brian today? Brian's here with us. I didn't even mention that Priscilla's the number one ranked triathlete in the whole world probably by now. On Wednesday, I had an enjoyable, adventurous day with Tyler's two boys, Hunter and Connor. So they wanted to eat breakfast at one of my favorite places to eat breakfast. That'd be Cracker Barrel. So we went to Cracker Barrel, and they had their phones with them. And I said, hey, let's put our phones in the glove compartment. They did, without much disagreement. But we sit down inside, enjoyed the ordering process. Won't tell you that story because you had to be there. You know, they take advantage when they have a rookie taking care of them, right? But their phones are in the car. Hunter looks at me and says, I don't have my phone with me. What are we going to do? Do you know why that should speak to you today, church? Because until you cling to anything but Jesus, when what you are clinging to is taken out of your hands by a loving God, you will ask a question out of uncertainty and out of fear. What am I going to do now? And God is saying, I've been here all along. I've been here right here. You said Jesus is Lord of your life and you declare that publicly through baptism. It takes an act of faith. It also takes an act of faith to say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I trust you. I trust you. What was my answer to Hunter? Parents and grandparents, you'll enjoy this answer probably. Picture the Cracker Barrel. I gave him an A and a B as an option. A, I said, well, Hunter, we can look around at the pictures. His reaction was kind of like your all's. In fact, there was a couple, there was a picture of an older couple on the wall next to us. I said, that's a picture of your mom and dad. And then I said this to him. And this is, I think, the highlight of the day, if you don't mind me using that terminology. I said, well, Hunter, we could have a conversation. When's the last time you really talked to God? I don't mean the list. I don't mean the wants and the things you disguised as, God, I need. But they're really just wants. When's the last time you bared your heart before Him? And said, I'm just struggling. Or the last time you took a few minutes to take inventory of that mountain of blessings that you couldn't see because of that molehill of problems and worries. The last time I preached, I said these to you. The closer I come to the Father, the less I see that which throws fear into my life. Baptism is an act of faith. Today we declare that a sovereign God, merciful, generous, loving, kind Heavenly Father, is doing and has done and will do a great work in some people's lives. And we're going to join in that celebration. Do you have a desire in your heart to continue celebrating what God is doing, has done, and wants to do in your life? When's the last time you had a good talk with the Father? A real talk with the Father. Let's pray. Well, we sang it earlier today. Leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Those are strong arms. Those are merciful arms. If you've been listening to anything God's been saying to you today, how are you going to respond to that? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Or did you answer that question yes one day under duress, but you really didn't mean it? Are you willing to follow Him like you've never followed Him before? If you've never started that relationship with Him, I'd encourage you to think about what I'm getting ready to say to you today. He offers forgiveness of your sins. He offers everlasting life. He offers a relationship through God the Father. He offers an incredible amount of Himself that cannot be described in man's terminology. He offers you the opportunity to have an old life taken away and a new life started. It cost Him everything to take it and bury it and through the power of the Father be resurrected. And He sits at the right hand of the Father, alive and doing very well. He's willing to extend mercy and grace today. It's unlimited. Unlimited mercy and grace. If it wasn't unlimited, there'd be a lot less people sitting in this room this morning. To follow Him, all you have to say is, yes, Lord, I believe You are the Son of God, and I confess my need for a Savior. How are you going to respond to what God's stirring on your heart today? Our altar's open. We'll be up here if you want to pray with somebody. If you want to pray on your own, you want to get somebody to pray with you that's out sitting in the congregation this morning. How do you respond to the love of the Father this morning? The altar's open.
Hey, everybody. I just want to thank y'all for all your prayers and your love. I felt it while I was in the hospital. And Friday, God healed my lungs in the hospital. They were going to send me home with oxygen for the rest of my life. They walked me around. My oxygen dropped down to 81%. Well, no, 91%. They said, here he goes again. Take him back to the room. When he turned around and headed back toward the room, my oxygen started going up. Went up to 95%. They walked me for about 10, 15 minutes. And it never dropped back below 95%. And as a bonus, I've been suffering from high blood pressure. I haven't been on that medicine for 10 days. My blood pressure has been normal. The doctor at the hospital told me, don't go back on that medicine till you talk to your regular doctor. He says, because there's no sense in it. God healed me. Prayer works. And I thank each and every one of you, and I thank Jesus most of all.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Amen. If you'd like to bring your cards and envelopes at this time, feel free to do that. We'll keep an attitude of prayer, but the altar is open, but the baskets, you can receive the cards and envelopes. I want to point out the picture that John's put up on the PowerPoint, that's today. Dr. O'Keary was there earlier today at the Sycamore in Nigeria. So that's a current picture of what God's doing in our body and that body over there. So we do praise Him for that. Well, I'll see some of you at the beach later. Some of you I won't see at the beach later, but I'll see you sometime. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You're moving in the earth. And God, thank You that You said, come on, join me. Come on. God, I thank You for that privilege. May we glorify and honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, we're done.